This is Truth with Grace, the media ministry of Grace Baptist Church. We're so pleased you've joined us today as we continue our exploration of the truth found in God's Word and the grace of salvation. Today we'll hear the second half of Pastor Pierre Rose's message from Chapter 3 of Revelation, entitled, A Message to the Dead Church. Instead of remembering the centrality of the gospel and keeping that as the primary focus of their church life, the church at Sardis had drifted away and now spent all of their time on activities that may have been good, but never resulted in people coming to know the Lord as their Savior. We'll pick up there as Pastor Pierre urges us not to buy into the false strategies we might borrow from the secular world, instead of just sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. My name is Brian Schmidt, and I'll have more information for you at the end of this broadcast, so please stay tuned. But for now, let's listen to the second half of today's message from Pastor Pierre.
Everything we do here at Grace Baptist Church, folks, points to Jesus Christ. We're not interested in anything that does not lead people to Christ. Everything we do must lead people to Christ, must have as a result pointing people to Christ, bringing them to the Savior. And I'm happy to report, and I'm glad to report to you, that we're doing well in this era. There's nothing, none of our events have any other purpose besides our fellowship, leading people to Christ, and inviting people to come and be a part and come and be saved. We're not interested in anything else. Why would we hide our real intentions anyway to our community when we're serving our community, if we're doing some sort of service to the community? Why would we not tell them what we're all about? Why would we not tell them that we love Jesus Christ and we're doing them because we love them as well? We're compassionate for them. We want them to get saved. I think I know why people do that. The reasoning goes something like this. Pastor, instead of telling people how to get saved, I'm just going to be really nice to them. Hopefully, they're going to like me and they're going to ask me about my religion, about my faith. Friends, I can't think of anything more ineffective than that. And the reason I say this is because I used to do this. As a brand new believer, I was afraid of sharing Christ. For some reason, I thought people were going to... I don't know how to answer some of the questions. I didn't know how to articulate the gospel. So I defaulted to human knowledge. I defaulted to human philosophy, which is no more than a sales pitch. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be nice to people. Only to find out that unsaved people are not naive. They knew exactly what I was doing. They knew the intention of my heart, that I was trying to close the deal. That I was using secular methodology in order to bring people to the faith. And they would be glad to have me as their personal assistant, and never ask me about my faith, to my frustration. I was so frustrated that I got to my knees, and God led me to learn the better method, the biblical method, which is just share the gospel with people. You don't have to be obnoxious about it. Ask permission. You'd be surprised at how easy it is to ask permission to share your faith with them. The worst that can happen to you, my friend, is they'll say, no, thank you. You'll live, I promise. You will survive. I've never gotten killed. Nobody shot at me when I asked permission to share the gospel with them. Hey, man, I've known you now for a couple of months, so we've been working together for all this time. I realized I never shared my faith with you. Do you mind if I ask you a question? And they'll say, for sure, yeah, go ahead. Do you know you're going to heaven when you die, or is this something you're still trying to figure out? And you will be surprised, friends, at how often people will engage in that conversation with you. All you need to do is ask. Just ask permission. Well, if you don't, then you'll never find out. Pray for me. Remember, I've told you this before. I'm not a good evangelist in planes. I shared with this. It's a better opportunity to share Christ with people because you have them for 2 or 3 hours sitting next to you. But I'm always, for some reason, my flesh really cries out during a flight. And I put my headphones on and I say, Lord, I'm going to listen to a sermon. I'm going to be really spiritual. I don't want to share Christ with people. And almost always, the people next to me will start the conversation. So remember this. Jesus is more interested than you are in leading people to Christ. All you need to do is be available. Just be available. Be alive. Just act out the life that you already have, the abundant life. You're full of life if you're a believer in Christ. In fact, the Bible says there are fountains of living water coming out of you. All you need to do is get people wet. Ask them permission to share Christ. That's what the non-dead church does. That's what we do. Because we're full of life. Now back to the readers in Sardis here. They would have understood this command very well. Be watchful, be alert, or wake up. The reason for that is because of the history of their city. Remember what I told you in the beginning, they were a naturally fortified place. So there were cliffs leading up to the city, making it almost impossible for invasions to happen. But nonetheless, they were invaded twice. Once in 549 BC by King Cyrus, and the next time was 214 BC by Antiochus the Great. And the city was never the same after those two invasions. And Christ, in His infinite knowledge, used their history to make a point. And the point is, just like the guards from previous generations neglected to be watchful, in other words, their deeds were incomplete, they didn't guard the walls because they grew overconfident of, we don't need to, nobody can scale those walls. And they did. And Christ is saying, just like what happened, the same thing happened in the church. The church failed in the same way. You neglected to be watchful. You didn't notice that gradually Christ was being removed from the center of attention in that church. And before you knew it, the church was dead. And this is what He's telling them. The invasions would not have occurred if they remained watchful, if they remained on guard. And the leaders of the church, the same way. The church probably would not have died if they remained watchful, if they remained alert. But they would have saved the congregation from demise. But I want you to see that not all was lost. Listen to verse 3 again. It was not too late, because they were hearing from the one who raises the dead. And He's given them an opportunity to be revived. So He says, remember what you have received. And that is the second command. It reveals the grace of Christ. Again, the grace of God and the holiness of God walking hand in hand one more time. He has given this preaching elder here a second chance. A chance to lead the church, to shepherd them into revival. No doubt, there's no question about this. Some people in that church will say, Pastor, see ya, thank you. I'm okay in my grave. Don't you bother me. I want to stay laying down. It's comfortable here. I want to stay in my grave. He would have lost people, which is always the case when you're trying to revive the church. When you say, man, we need to be preaching Christ. Some people will bail because that's not what they want. Maybe they're not even saved if they don't care about leading people to Christ. Think about this. If you had the cure for cancer, wouldn't you be doing everything you can? Put the message on TV and radio and everything you can to announce to the whole world that, man, I have the solution for cancer. Why would we be quiet about that? We have the solution for the sin problem. And we do. Why would we be quiet about that? So, this is how you resurrect a dead church. Christ is saying, you remember the saving message that caused many of you to be saved. That's what He's saying here. And not only that, but keep it. That's another word for obey. Keep it. Keep My commandments. And that's how you resurrect a dead church. You refocus on the gospel, not on social programs. They have their place in the church, in the life of the church, but they are peripheral. They serve the purpose of leading people to Christ. They must point people to Jesus Christ, and they serve the main goal. And again, I'm honored to belong to a church that understands that. It would be really hard for me to operate in a place that doesn't care about leading people to Christ. Now, the third command here, He says, is to repent. Even though this is a dead church, Christ is calling them to a place of repentance. He's calling them to make things right and live again. It was their chance to receive divine CPR. Heavenly defibrillator, if you will. In the second half of verse 3, Jesus takes the readers of this letter back again to their history to make a point. Once again, the invasions that happened in Sardis happen in the darkness, in the cover of night. And Jesus tells them, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, then the same thing is going to happen. Only this time, I am the invading force. He's telling them. And friends, it's one thing to be invaded by people. It's another thing to be invaded by the Son of God. The one who sees everything. The one who has the sharp sword of His mouth. This is an indication of war again. The warring Jesus Christ saying, if you don't Do what I'm telling you to do. I'm going to come to you like a thief. And friends, thieves don't announce when they're coming. They don't call you. They don't send you a text. Say, hey, by the way, my schedule here says I'm supposed to rob your house at 5. They don't do that. And when they come, they don't come to have tea. They come to take things from you by force. And what Jesus is saying is this, if you don't, I'm giving you a chance. He's saying, if you don't do anything, I'm going to come like a thief. And I'm going to take forcibly from you what you think you have. Even your reputation that is flawed. Even the name that you have that you're alive. I'm going to take that from you. So you better do what I say. He's saying, repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. You do not know the hour. So that's the consideration. Now, this has been the tragic end of many churches. In Europe, for example, many churches that once had a name, whole denominations that once had a name that they were alive, are no more than giant cemeteries, no more than graveyards. And friends, the same thing has already happened in North America, in case you haven't noticed. May this never be the case right here in Salem. As long as I'm here, friends, we're going to be alive and we're going to be preaching Christ from this pulpit here, no matter the cost. I know it'll cost our popularity. It'll cost many things, but we're going to preach Christ because we don't want to be spiritual graveyards. I would hate to receive a letter from there. I would be frightened to receive a letter like this from Jesus Christ. You think you're alive, but you're dead. Therefore, repent and so forth. Now, after identifying the congregation and pointing out the complication and offering the consideration, he offers the consecration. He points out the consecration in verse 4. Amazingly, there were signs of life in that place. A small number of true believers. They were watchful. They were fully awake. They were heartbroken by the demise of their beloved church. And they refused to soil their garments, which means they refused to smear their garments in the decomposing remains of a once thriving church. And Jesus uses a beautiful figure of speech here to describe their purity. That's what it means to have white garments here. It's talking about a victory, purity, and festivities. And they were the ones who upheld the things that remained. They were the faithful remnants of that place. And Jesus is addressing them. And then, again, the fact that they were not being persecuted is not good. But there were a few people there that are worthy ones. How would you like to be called a worthy believer by the one who is the worthy one? Because that's how he's worshipped in the chapter 4, book of Revelation. He's called the worthy one. Now, you ask, well, Pastor, why didn't they just leave the church and find a church that was alive? Well, one thing we need to understand, that Asia Minor didn't have a church in every corner. So it was very hard for them that there was no First Baptist Sardis or a Sardis Community Church or anything like that. So these folks here stood their ground. They persevered here under trial. They persevered in prayer for revival. They were eager to come alongside the leadership. And they begged the leadership to bring Christ back to the place of prominence where He belongs. They begged the leadership to strengthen the things that remain. Now, they were the paramedics, if you will, of this church. And they were trying desperately to avoid the final doom of their beloved body. In their resuscitation efforts, they reasoned with the leadership. Man, let's bring Christ back. Let's preach Jesus Christ. Man, Pastor, we'll help you. We'll encourage you. We'll pray for you. But let's keep preaching Christ. Let's abandon all of these things that have nothing to do with spiritual realities, that have nothing to do with bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These are all peripheral. These are all good. But let's not sacrifice the better for the good. That's what they were saying. And they refused to treat the bride of Christ as a corpse. And they were trying to nourish her back to life. And that's the reason why Jesus Christ recognizes their effort, their heroic efforts. And He tells them, man, you are worthy. You are the worthy ones. Here at Grace Baptist Church, we have a lot more than just a handful of people who refuse to soil their garments. We have a lot more. I know all of you that refuse to soil your garments. That refuse to settle for anything less than preaching Christ. You know who you are. You are really alive. You know who you are. You refuse to do anything else. You refuse to get comfortable with your sin. You refuse to stay where you are. You want to serve God with excellence. You are worthy. You are worthy. Remember, these are emblematic of all the churches throughout the history of the world. You are the worthy ones. Jesus knows you, and your reward is infinitely better than any accolades from the world. And that's how Jesus finishes this letter, the compensation in verse 5. He makes a promise to the true believers in that place, and that promise is threefold, if you'll notice here. First one, those that walk with Him faithfully now will walk with Him in white garments. He says, you enjoy walking with Christ now. You love Him with all of your heart. This is a reference to their Christian living. You love serving Him. You love walking with Him, preaching Him, announcing Him, honoring His desire for His church and for your life. Imagine what's going to happen later on when you will be with Me in heaven. He's pointing them to heaven. Remember, let me read to you Revelation 4, verse 4. The scene is in heaven, and we'll get to that when we get to that point. It's a worship service that lasts two chapters in the book of Revelation. But in chapter 4, he says, around the throne, there were 24 thrones, and upon those thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments. Clothed in white garments, and golden crowns were on their heads. It's talking about a place of honor, a place of authority, being a part of what Jesus is doing around the world. Now, this is much better than any temporary applause from the world. So it's much better to refuse to soil your garments. That's a figure of speech. To smear your garments with deadly decomposition fluids. It's much better to walk with Him. Secondly, he says, I assure you that I will not erase your name from the book of life. That doesn't mean he is erasing names from the book of life. In fact, he's saying he's not going to do that. That's a reference to the city census, for example, of that time where when you would die, your name would be erased from the city census. And perhaps this is a reference to the dead church removing people from their rosters because they want to be Christ-like. And we have several examples in history. For example, you heard about Martin Luther. You've heard of the name John Calvin, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards. All of these guys who were run out of their churches, their names were erased from dead churches. Because of their love for Christ, because of their desire to honor Christ, their refusal to soil their garments, their refusal to settle for anything less than preaching Jesus Christ. And as a result, they were anathematized, cursed, sent out from their rosters of the dead church. And Christ saying, even if that's the case, just remember that your name is written in the book of life. That's the registry that really matters. And that's what He's given them, a word of encouragement. And you too, my friend, if you're a true believer in Christ and you love Jesus, you are heartbroken by sin, by your own sin, and you want to honor Him in everything you do, you want to walk in godliness, you join that list of VIP people and all of the redeemed from all of the world that are a part of the book of life. And you confess the name of Christ. Now, dead people don't confess the name of Christ. Dead churches don't confess the name of Christ. They confess everything else. They confess political correctness. They confess social justice. They confess whatever else is out there. Being cool, being whatever. Except Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, He quotes Himself here in the last verse in Matthew 10:32 and also Luke 12:8. Everyone who confesses Me before men, I will confess before My Father and before His angels. It's a combination of those two verses. He quotes them all in one and saying, you confess Me, I will confess you. And we gladly confess Jesus Christ. We have no other treasure, church. And that what causes us to be alive. It doesn't matter the size of the congregation. There are many mega churches out there that are dead. I know some of them. I know of some of them. And you do too. Now, conversely, there are several small churches out there that are teeming with life. Because the giver of life is being preached and being proclaimed. The people are going out of their walls to announce salvation in no other name. That's what causes us to be alive. May this never be the case here. I told you before, the moment I stop preaching this book here, the moment I stop preaching Christ, get me out of here. Fire me. I have no business being in this pulpit unless I am preaching Jesus Christ. Nobody is. So, that's Christ's letter to the dead church. The congregation, the complication, the consideration, the consecration, and the compensation. But let me conclude with this. Let me address you individually now, okay? Let me ask you a question. Are you spiritually alive? No, I'm not asking you if you were born into a Christian faith, into the Christian home. I'm not asking you if you've always been a believer. Hear me carefully. Are you spiritually alive? That is the question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Because if you do not know for sure, the Bible says you can know for sure. And if you're basing that assurance on anything else other than by grace through faith, friend, I am afraid you are like that museum of the human body. Dead men walking. You have no life. No life of Christ. And you have a false sense of security. Unless you have already come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, that He now is in your heart, the Holy Spirit is there. There's clear evidence of that. You are heartbroken by your sin. You have a desire to honor Him. You have a desire to make His name known. You understand the church is not about you. You understand that we're not a country club. You understand the reason that we exist. And you have the eagerness, although fear, to announce Christ. And you have the desire to lead your friends to Christ because you know the saving power of the gospel. Friend, if that's you, then you are alive. Then the Bible says the fountains of living water are flowing from you. But if not, Christ is calling you today. He's telling you today to wake up. And He is able to call the dead to be resurrected because He is the resurrection and the life. He's the one who conquered the grave. Therefore, He is the only one able to waken people from spiritual death. And if you have never come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, I echo His invitation to you when He says, wake up. Wake up. Jesus is calling you to Him. He's drawing you to Himself. That's the reason you're here in church today, or that's the reason you're listening to this sermon. You need to make things right with God today if you're not spiritually alive. And you have the opportunity to do that. Here, all you need to do is tell someone, because we're very much alive here at Grace Baptist Church. We love to tell people about Jesus Christ. We love to tell people how to get saved. Just ask any one of us, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? I'll tell you, it's not very hard. It's not rocket science. You come to the end of yourself. You recognize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. You recognize that your sin is great, but that your Savior is greater. And you come to Him in repentance and faith. And you say, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. Receive me and change my life, change my heart. And He will do that. He will make you a new person. The Bible says you will be born again. And that's real life, friend. You will receive abundant life and eternal life. Join me in prayer. Father, thank You for today's message in the book of Revelation, Lord. We are so glad that we have records of these churches as examples to us, Lord, so as to avoid the same fate here, Lord. Next week, we're going to look at the opposite church, Lord, a church that was very much alive, a church that was honoring to You, Lord. And we're going to be encouraged by that too, Father. But thank You for Your infinite wisdom in allowing us to be able to study these churches, study the book of Revelation so that we can fill our hearts with passion for You. The purpose is not to fill our heads with knowledge, Lord. You're not interested in that. We know that. But the purpose of any knowledge we have, Lord, is to produce love for You and compassion for people, Lord. And I pray that this will continue to be the case here in our beloved church, Father. May we never die, Lord. We looked at unhealthy churches in the past here in the book of Revelation, Lord. I pray that we'll never get to even that point, Father, that Jesus Christ will always have a place of prominence in this place. He is always going to be preached and proclaimed, loved, worshipped, and adored, because He's our great Savior, Lord. And You saved us from a life of sin, a life of arrogance, a life of being enemies of God, and yet You loved us and You rescued us. You did to us something we could never have done for ourselves. So we thank You for that, Lord, and we thank You for so great a salvation. And we pray, Lord, that in the days and months and years to come, Lord, we will be a beacon of light in this community, in this state, Lord, in this country, Father. Even though many other churches may die around us, Lord, this place will be teeming with life because the giver of life is here, Father. May we never deviate from this. We pray, Lord, have mercy on us, Lord, because we love You and we want to honor You in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our primary goal in sharing these messages is the hope that the good news of God's saving grace will reach people outside of our church walls and show them the way of salvation. We hope that's happened today. As always, if you have questions or comments, please feel free to contact us. Our email address is radio@gbcsalem.org. That's radio@gbcsalem.org. You can also write to us at Grace Baptist Church, 4197 State Street, Salem, Oregon, 97301. And you can visit our website, gbcsalem.org, for more information about this broadcast ministry and ways for you to financially support Truth with Grace. We look forward to your partnership. This broadcast is provided to you at no cost to the generosity of financial and prayer supporters of Truth with Grace. Please feel free to share it, but please don't charge money for it or edit it in any way without the written consent of Grace Baptist Church. Next week, a much more positive letter to a fully alive church. Until next time, this is Truth with Grace.